Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 15th, 170th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, back in the saddle again, Rex Bone.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm okay. How about you?
Here we go again.
Yeah, okay. Our quote this morning comes from Max Steiner in 1845. Quote, "Freedom can't be granted. It must be taken." It was interesting for me with all the discussions and now all the primaries are done and all that kind of stuff to keep flashing back to Neil Bortz and his thought that Americans don't want to be free, period. We want to be taken care of.
Freedom includes
personal responsibility, yeah. Not, hey, I'm old, I need money. Hey, I'm hurt, I need money. And I think it really bears out in the election process. I heard something last week, and I hadn't thought of it this way, that the difference between Republicans and Democrats is social values.
There could be an argument made for that.
And I thought, I'd never heard it that plainly spoken. Now it's rather than shrinking government, you know, the constitutionalist and the Tea Party and that approach and libertarian. Then I think the next local news story I heard, Humboldt County's budget, annual budget's up to now $358 million.
Yeah.
I remember when it was at 2.5.
290, 280.
And
this year, and it was funny when I was first reading it, I had to come back and go, boy, that's a 10%. And then I had to realize that the county, the juvenile hall projects in there, there's quite a few grant projects, the, you know, infrastructure projects that we're managing through DHHS, which bumped it up quite a bit. But it is still a staggering amount. And I was just telling somebody today, we were talking about how it's just a very big business. And we have to give, you know, we have to reward our employees just like anybody else rewards employees. And we have to have the cash flow to maintain, you know, the infrastructure that we have. Our problem is the past, the infrastructure wasn't attended to as much as it should, or maybe it was when we had money. It just doesn't seem like it. And so we're having to take care of a large amount of roads and buildings. I mean, you're seeing the paper on our ADA. You don't see it. We're working on our ADA. We've made our chambers, you know, the places that people come to, you know, most readily. We're trying to make them first and foremost readily available and go from there.
Now, as the playing field has changed, the state's taking more and more money,
yeah,
and giving back less and less. The feds are doing the same thing, trying to legislate behavior. And at the same time, the infrastructure that we perceive local government's responsibilities for goes wanting.
Yeah. Yeah, we lose something to the tune of $700,000 to $800,000 this year on road funding because the gas tax dropped 2 cents. The state gas tax, so our percentage goes down, I think it's $750,000.
But how much did the county save because of the cost of the fuel of all the cars going around without the registration slips on them because they're county-owned vehicles?
Oh, no, I agree.
So the
but we've always saved that. So that can't come
into the
mix.
But if it drops down,
yeah,
you know, there's a county-wide savings of,
yeah,
or county-wide,
yeah,
cost of.
Our CA exempt tags and stuff.
And that's what,
yeah,
I would be looking,
yeah,
at,
yeah,
to say, okay, hey, we're net plus here or we're net minus here, and address it that way rather than, because I know you guys all think in silos because that's the way things operate. Okay, Tom takes a hit, but the motor pool has extra money, whether or not that is the case.
Well, and you've seen it where we loaned money to the airport out of public, you know, where we've done that to keep, you know, to make changes out there and hopefully, you know, ridership, you know, congrats to Virginia and all the work she's done on the ridership's way up out that way, so.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, when you look at the economic health of Humboldt County, had the chance to spend a little bit of time last week with a fellow. We were talking about the old days, you know, lumber, fishing, mining, Okay. And what the area was versus what the area is today. And we had the whole Emmitsburg thing, and you pointed out something that I think a lot of folks hadn't thought of, that the way business is conducted in Humboldt County, that business that's here, is different today.
Yeah.
You know, the distribution centers and things of that nature. When you're looking out at the general picture of Humboldt County, what do you see for the next little bit? What do you see today?
The biggest thing I see today, I am averaging 2 to 4 phone calls a day from people asking me, where do I hire people? I'm getting it from the dairy ranchers. I'm getting it from the construction guys. I'm getting it from beer distributors. They cannot find people that can pass a whiz quiz and show up to work every morning.
And who want to work.
That want to work. I mean, and sometimes I had a guy tell me the other day, I just need a guy that will show up every day, be here for 8 hours. So if I tell him, go pick that up, he can go pick it up. I don't even know if he has to think that far outside the box. I'll tell him what he needs to do all day. And he was going to pay him $16 an hour starting.
So how come? Is that the drug culture in Humboldt County? Is that largesse of California? How come you can't find people?
I think a lot of them are going to the hills to work on ranches and farms to do that. They do it every year, but it's become a little more prevalent this year because I've had multiple dairy guys call and say they're having trouble finding guys to work, and that's a tough thing.
And yeah, a work job.
Yeah.
That's not a.
But I was in an auto shop yesterday, and the guy was telling me. He says I had a guy come in. He showed up 3 days in a row to work late, and finally I says you got to be here on time. And then 2 hours later he was BS, and he says I need you to work. And they came in a half hour later. And says I think I might go home. I just can't handle this. And 23-year-old kid just didn't want to work anymore.
That isn't something that we can really deal with here or solve here in the county.
No, it's not. You can't solve that part of it.
It's a cultural issue.
But it does ring true when somebody says, well, we need more jobs to solve the problems. We need more people to take the jobs.
So where is Humboldt County Economic Development? Where is that link that is saying, okay, we need more jobs? We need more people who are willing to abide by the conditions of employment, whether it's counseling or whether it's just general. Where is that today?
Well, I spoke at a job fair here a few weeks ago. They had a big job fair. They had, I think, 44 employers, both government and private.
Was this the EDD one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And economic development was in on it, and the EDD, and there was a host of players involved, but they had I'd say it was about a 60-40 mix, private and government jobs. You know, the CHP was there, Cal Fire. I mean, it was a pretty good mix of people. And there were people, they were giving out apps, they were taking apps, they were telling people, you can come in for, you know, we'll come in for an interview. And there was a lot of people coming through. So that was enlightening for me to see the
looking
people.
Looking for employment or looking for the check off on the list?
No, looking for employment. Looking for employment. Looking for employment.
So with the stories the anecdotal stories, and with that experience, do you think they recognize, okay, you can't go out and get loaded every day? You do have to show up for work.
They're going to have to realize that someday, Brian. I mean, that's and I don't know if that's something we have to start. You know, I think that's something the Decade of Difference may be trying to do.
They're certainly drumming it in, but those are the kids I would think are the ones who get it. I don't think you're getting the kids who have the entrepreneurial spirit,
yeah,
are the ones who are showing up late, consistently loaded, or just don't want to put out the effort.
I mean, so many jobs, just show up, do it. They're not going to overwork you. They're not going to do anything else. And you're going to learn some valuable skills. And I tell people, I had a lady call and said, my son would look like a summer job. I said, perfect. And I called her back 2 days later. She said, he found one. I said, there wasn't a doubt in my mind, but I had a guy that would hire him. You know, there are those jobs. But you've got to show up. You've got to be clean. You've got to have, you know, some sense of you know, right, wrong, and indifferent, you know, and be able to do a little bit. But there are a lot of, now, when I came out of high school, I know 4 or 5 of the guys that I graduated with were starting the next Monday at the sawmills. We don't have those days anymore.
But
and
you
they're
showed
retiring,
up.
They're retiring from those sawmills right now. Same guys.
But you showed up.
Yes.
And you knew you had to work.
Yeah.
And that was okay.
Yeah.
And I think that there's the entitlement thing somehow, and I don't know where it comes from. If we did, we'd probably solve the problems and not have to be here doing this show.
But I mean, it's
but
just,
we've had issues trying to find people here, going out of state to try to find somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, and I.
So there are.
It's easy to say it's California, and it's easy to say that it's drug culture local. And maybe the combination of the two is some of this that we're running into.
And by drug culture, I don't mean necessarily that they're on them. It's just that business is right now a little more lucrative.
It's impacting everybody around
us. And it always has been.
And there's no urgency.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, I can do something else.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of the culture we grew up with where, you know, an 8 o'clock appointment met 8 o'clock. And if it was 8:03, you kind of felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's, you know. Well
I was always told if you start at 8, get there at quarter till. But
yeah, you're hearing frustration across the board. And labor laws change now too.
Yeah,
if you showed up at 7:45 for the 8 o'clock and checked in, now you're in trouble because now you're on the clock 15 minutes early. That means you have to leave 15 minutes late on the back or early on the backside.
I wouldn't have been. I was checking into Dad's grocery store, so he was telling me to show up early, telling me to stay late. You know.
Yeah, and I think the regulation is. The regulatory climate has caused things to change also.
Ted Contry, who was Justin Zabel's partner at Mercer Fraser, who passed away, but he had a big contractor friend. They told him he had to take it down, but he used to put on his calendars. He says, show up early, stay late, write 8. It was just a joke, but it was pretty funny. But
yeah, a joke, but you know that now he would get lit up. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone, Humboldt County Supervisor for another 4 years.
Yeah.
Talk shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Rex, as you look at the county as it is, you look at the state as it is, the rural county specifically, there are a couple of significant issues that are coming around the corner. During the break, we were talking about minimum wage. Okay, that's going to... certainly have, I don't think a ripple, I think it's a tidal wave. I mean, that's a 50% increase in minimum wage in 5 years is huge. Okay. We've got the legalization of marijuana. I think that's going to have a significant, as drugs have had a significant impact in Humboldt County all across the board, I think it's going to do the same throughout the state and eventually throughout the country. Then you've got the disconnect that Sacramento has with locals. You put those three things together. What does your next 4 years look like?
It's not going to be easy. As we've talked before, I'm really proud that I serve on the executive board now and on the chairs of RCRC, the Rural Counties Representing Communities, because we're a very large...
I thought you were just a two-fisted soda drinker.
we're very well respected down there. We have lobbyists and legislative analysts. We get the state recognizes when we go to the Capitol that we're speaking for 35 rural counties. So we've got, I'm looking forward to their help, on funding, road funding, our PILT funding, our payment in lieu of taxes on our state lands that they've held back.
But now once that gets caught up, then it's just kind of dink along each year, right?
Once it gets caught up, it is dink along, yeah. But dink along at the point of, $150,000, $200,000, whatever it is every year.
Versus the jobs that we could be having if the forests were open and we were actually able to log.
Exactly. I mean,
it's still a discounted figure, whatever the number is.
Oh, you're exactly right. And I mean, the thing we have to look forward, because it's marching this way, and I asked somebody the other day, I don't know how it affects Redwood, but we have a lot of, is tree mortality. Tree mortality through Tuolumne and everything. I mean, they have millions of trees in the that are just
getting too old.
Yeah. Well, no, the drought and then the bark beetle. And the bark beetle's okay. It's amazing. I flew over Alaska a few years ago and I saw what it did. It devastated huge swaths of land. They have neighborhoods down there that have piles of logs the size of this building, but 100 foot high. They have nowhere for it to go. And what they're doing now is they're actually just wide open burning it. I'm thinking, okay, where's the air quality on that? But they have nowhere for the product to go. But it is such
because
a huge...
Because it's infested?
Well, because it's already on the ground. It's on the ground. It's on the ground. There's no market demand. They have nowhere for it to go. There's no market demand because there's too much. I mean, you just overflood. I mean, I know Sierra Pacific and a few other mills are taking all the logs or a lot of the logs out of Middletown and stuff over Lake County. I was over on Highway 20 the other day. A lot of those logs going out. But they've been checked up. They're dead. They're, you know, so they're not going to get the bark residue and stuff out of that. But they've got to get them cut up before they check up. So they, you know, they've got a lot of those logs coming out that way. But what that does is you have a huge, basically, for a better term, fire sale of logs going to these mills. But what it does to the small landowner, I mean, the landowner for the mill that owns a lot of land, that's a good thing if he owns a lot. But for the small landowner, he's not being able to sell his, you know.
It's like the farmer.
Three, four, yeah.
Yeah, there's just so too much supply outstripping demand.
Yeah, and so that it becomes an issue and the price gets so low and they depend on that. So that's one of the issues we have to look forward to. I'm excited
but
about...
But if the economy was back and housing starts were happening... Well, your demand would pick up and at least get closer to that supply.
And
number.
I think that's that seems like it's now starts were bad last month. I know they were bad last month, but they've been trending. I think there's a bright light in 2018 with Frank Schmidbauer, with his father and stuff, with looking at Corbell, opening Corbell back up. That's a huge factor. We have two of our three power plants working again now, with maybe the third one kicking back up. So
now when Frank reopens the mill, something that a couple of the timber guys told me a couple years ago now is that it ain't going back because of automation. You're not going to see hundreds of guys being employed in a mill anymore because you got computers. Yep. Things are going to be different. Don't flash back. Think about how technology has impacted an industry, and that's what it's going to look like.
Well, to a certain extent, but I mean, Humboldt Redwood just added a shift and they put 35 guys on, and that's one of they've put $8 million more dollars into that mill in the last year and a half. Automation brings you, and what automation brings you is a better yield. You know, you get the
Makes sense
cuts.
For the company. No question.
You know,
about
you
it.
Get a better yield on your product.
But you're not going to have 250 guys being hired. For
No. You're not going to have 250, and they never. You know, I mean, I remember 30 years ago when. 25 years ago when Green Diamond Simpson put in their automated stacker. You had all those green chain pullers, and they put that automated stacker, and that put out a whole line of guys out to work. But they picked up a lot of them through attrition and stuff like that. But, I mean, automation is, I mean, car factories.
Yeah, no,
everything.
No question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different than what we think of when we stereotype in the 50s, 60s, 70s of the mill. You know, it's not going to be that. It's going to be different. Okay, deal with it.
But it's still living wage jobs with benefits.
And 35 is cool.
And they're using resources that will grow back and make more resources.
So with some of those that are out there that are potential positives, now can we find people to pass the employment screening, whether it's the chemical stuff or showing up on time or.
I saw an advertisement the other day that Schmidbauer was looking for guys to hire, you know, and not for out there yet, obviously, but I mean, they were looking for guys to fill shifts.
For Mike.
You know, to fill shifts, you know, so for Rich and Mike and I mean, the whole thing. So, I mean, there are jobs available out there, and people always say if we had more jobs, and I keep telling them, I say if we had more qualified workers or people that wanted to work. And
well, it's a combination of both, obviously. When you look at the county... You know, certainly that's an area that we've seen expansion in the sector. The geographic area, do you think we're going to see salvage harvesting? Do you think we're going to start to see some changes in some of the regulatory climates? Do you think we're going to allow private sector businesses to be more successful? Or do you see an ongoing development and expansion over the next 4 years of the regulators?
I think we're in a position where we have to work with them to make them more successful. I mean, I'm just 20%. I've got just you hit the nail on the head. I mean, are we over regulating? Are we? I mean, it used to be you'd ride with a popsicle in your mouth and you got home when the street light came on. And now we with no helmets. Now we put body armor on the kids and have bike lanes. And I'm not saying they're not bad. I'm not saying they're bad. But I mean, it's just are we overprotecting?
Yeah, bike lanes are an interesting phenomenon.
So
to use those as traffic calming, I don't think is the wisest thing in the world. But it's working so well at Booner and S. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, as you're looking in this next four-year microcosm that we've kind of been fixating on, do you think that Sacramento is going to get more in touch, or do you think that they're going to become more of an island?
Well, I think we're fortunate, and I've said this before, but we're fortunate that we have an assemblyman and a state senator who come up here and I think get it.
I mean, yeah, but I've had that line given to me for 35 years.
No, I understand. Well, so, I can't say that. In the past, we haven't had guys that showed up
like
these
you,
guys. You know,
yeah. Whoever was in the electors. Yeah, yeah. Oh, these are the greatest people we've ever had.
But the problem being is I got the figure the other day, and I think it was either 43 or 47, but I think it was 47% of all registered voters in California lie in Orange County South. 24.5% are LA County alone. So if you have 24% of your registered voters sitting in one county and a tree bill comes up, save the last tree, you're looking at a place that's an asphalt jungle, and you're going, well, God, we've got to save some trees somewhere. Let's save them up where we have nothing to do with.
Well, we
lose our own destiny. So
don't we do a bad job then in educating Humboldt County, Del Norte County, Mendocino County, educating Southern California?
And I'll
fly up here, see the trees, appreciate the trees, but understand what's
reality. And I can't speak to the past, but I know both Assemblyman Woods and Senator McGuire have brought fellow guys, both up from L.A., both from Orange County, have brought their guys up because I've been at a couple of events. And showed them what's going on up here. So and drive. Basically, you're right. Driven them around and showed them what rural is like. Now, this is a big deal for them because it's real hard. Because you got to remember, they have their own district, their own piece of turf to cover. Besides looking at state, it's no different than a supervisor. I would love all the roads paved in gold in the first district, but I realize we need all the roads paved with asphalt in all of Humboldt County. So we try to work. We fight the battle for our own district. But we try to look out for the better whole of the whole county, because as the whole county does better, we all do better.
It would be interesting, and maybe this is where some of that economic development, even though it's not direct, monies could be spent. What if you had like familiarization tours with some of the media and that kind of folks of the electeds from Orange and LA County? Take one of the United planes, buy the thing out from LAX. We're leaving at this time. You'll be back at this time. We want you to understand. And get them up here, because they probably haven't been up here. If they have in 20 years, if they haven't, who knows?
And things have changed.
And just have them look around for a day. Drive to the parks. Drive through the cities and look. Yeah. This is our city. It's a little different than yours. Don't misunderstand what our reality is as you're passing these bills.
It's a hard thing to do. And California is a lot different from, well, you know, we're such a large state. But we have those big pods of people that are just clustered like on top of each other.
Who's your favorite president?
You know.
Did I hear Jefferson? Thanks for coming by, bud. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then,
you're going to hear Reagan.
See you tomorrow.